Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everyone, hello friends. Welcome back to Nine Lives Season 2 Episode 7. How are we? How has your week been? I have been having a little bit of a trickier time recently. I just came from my first session with my new therapist. I took a break from therapy for a little while because I'm not gonna lie, I thought I had it all figured out. And today's topic is it's gonna be very illuminating, I hope, for people, but it's certainly in keeping with how I've been feeling recently, which is just a little bit of heaviness and a little bit of resistance to the next stage of my life. So I've changed the lights in the studio for those watching. Going for some white lights instead of purple. Big changes. There's a song that I found this week by an artist called Honstav. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's called I'd Rather Overdose. And it's a lot of people have been sharing their experiences with recovery to that song. And it's been quite interesting to see the emotions that it's been bringing up in myself. I think I've come so far that sometimes it feels rather staggering to see the differences in my life. And yet the girl I was, sometimes I miss her. And it's very, sorry, I'm already getting upset and it's not even 5 minutes into this episode. Good stuff. But, you know, thinking and hearing about everyone's recovery stories and thinking back to the girl, you know, the version of me that would lie on the bathroom floor and couldn't stay sober. And I have all these amazing things happening, and yet I still feel like her some days. And yeah, sometimes I just have to disconnect myself from my past in order to remain productive. I don't know if any of you do this. It's possibly not the best coping mechanism, but you know, to live is to feel pain, right? It's all part of it. And that's what I wanted to talk about this week, is shadow work and forgiveness of self and owning your demons, knowing your demons, knowing your dark parts. And I think when we do this, we can release a lot of shame, because feeling shameful of yourself is one of the most difficult emotions to process, I think, at least in my experience. I have always felt slightly guilty for being me, which is something I'm working through as well. And I know that that feeling has played out in my life through patterns of addictions. And yeah, so we're going to dive into shadow work today. I thought this could be really helpful. And I see it in your questions. I see it in your comments and your messages to me, that you are crying out for, how do I own the darkness inside myself? How do I recognize it, and how do I work with it and work through it? And this is an uncomfortable topic, so I'm going to preface with that, but it can be life-changing. And I think that in a world where we're so bombarded with podcasts and books and content that is centered around morning routines, optimal this and optimal that, and positivity, productiveness, you know. In my opinion, one of the most powerful things you can do is look deep inside at the wretched core of yourself and the parts that you don't like and make friends with that shadow, understand that shadow, move through the bad, in inverted commas, for those who are listening, the bad parts of yourself is so powerful. And I'm hoping today to kind of enlighten you on what that is and give you some tools in order to work through that. This has been one of the hardest parts of my journey and something that I still constantly have to do. I started or became aware of shadow work during my own journey, and really it was and is still so powerful for me, because a lot of what I have been through and a lot of what I still go through is rooted in a lot of negative emotions around myself and things that I have done, things that I have said, places I have been, people I have been with are parts of myself and actions or things related to my shadow self. Now, I'm going to give you a rundown of what this all is. I'm going to intersperse some storytelling of my own journey, and then I'm going to give you some tools in order to begin this. But I would just like to say, I am not a psychologist. I'm just a human being on a journey, and I'm trying to understand the parts of myself that I have suppressed. The uncomfortable truths that lead us to a deeper knowledge and ultimately unlock the friendship with ourselves that we are all so desperately clawing to achieve. And I'm hoping that while I'm learning, I can bring you along to learn too. If you do think that this is something you'd like to talk to a counselor or a therapist about, there are, you know, professionals out there who are able to do that. But I know that this podcast helps so many of you, and it's free. And that's why I'm bringing this topic to you today. So I have used the work of Scott Jeffrey to make notes on this topic. You can go to scottjeffrey.com to read more in depth about this. I just like to say thank you to him for making such an illuminating and simple breakdown of shadow work. So what is your shadow? It's always standing right behind us, just out of view. In any direct light, we cast a shadow. The shadow is a psychological term for everything we can't see in ourselves. Exploring your shadow can lead to greater authenticity, creativity, energy, and personal awakening. This reflective process is essential for reaching mature adulthood, which is rarer than most think. So let's start by examining what the shadow is and how it comes into being. The shadow is a critical psychological insight from the work of psychiatrist Carl Jung. And I promise you, I'm not going to bombard you with lots of technical jargon. Okay, this will be digestible. The shadow is the dark side of our personality. It's funny, I've just been watching Star Wars, so yeah. It consists chiefly of primitive, negative human emotions and impulses like rage, envy, greed, selfishness, desire, and striving for power. Everything we deny in ourselves, whatever we perceive as inferior, evil, or unacceptable, becomes part of our shadow. Anything incompatible with our chosen conscious attitude about ourselves regulates to this dark side. Knowing ourselves is to also know the dark parts too. So to know ourselves in full is to also know our dark parts and to admit that we have them. Because obviously human beings are not perfect. And I think one of the most uncomfortable yet freeing things we can do as human beings is to admit that some of our behaviors and some of our thoughts are not very kind, are not very nice, and don't really resonate with who we think we are as a person. And it's normal. It's normal to have parts of yourself that don't feel that nice, but it's in owning them, accepting them, understanding them, that we are able to move through them. So the shadow is a moral problem that challenges the whole ego personality. For no one can become conscious of the shadow without considerable moral effort. To become conscious of it involves recognizing the dark aspects of the personality as present and real. This act is the essential condition for any kind of self-knowledge. So, simply put, shadow work is the process of getting to know the parts of yourself that you're not currently aware of. So these are things that you might do, the way you speak to yourself or others, you know, things you say when you're angry, things you say when you're frustrated, or things you think of yourself or others when you're not having a good day. Unconsciously, you're doing things that aren't very nice and don't serve you. That is your shadow. And everyone has one. And it's also okay to have one. So it's okay. You are not your bad thoughts. To simplify the process, you can break down shadow work into two stages. Stage one is getting to know our shadow, bringing it to our awareness. And stage two is to integrate our shadow, which makes it a part of us. The goal of this work is to harmonize the opposites and move towards wholeness. I love this, that expression of wholeness and to harmonize the opposites, because in us, there is always good and bad. There is always the pioneer and the saboteur, right? If you are taking this for, you know, on a journey of fitness or wellness or healing, whatever it is that you're embarking on, there's always two parts of you, one that's trying to help you win and one that's trying to help you sabotage. Often I saw this in my own journey, you know, when I was living in obesity, a lot of that relationship I had with food and alcohol was rooted in self-sabotage, because I believed that I wasn't worth, you know, nutritious food, and I didn't feel worthy of moving my body or having a good relationship with alcohol. All of these things, it's very, very deep rooted. And moving through that, it took me to have an understanding of my shadow, knowing that there was a part of me that wanted to hurt myself. There was a part of me that thought I'd always be obese and that I did not deserve a life of freedom, a life of fitness, a life of wellness. But always there was that pioneer. And even though it was quiet, there was that light. And that hope and that light is what sits before you today. And even though I do, you know, I go up and down with my mental health, that light is brighter now, but that darkness also exists and still exists today. I still have issues I'm working through with my own shadow. The shadow is born, it's usually in childhood, because we're taught, you know, some parts of us are bad and some parts of us are good, because we all have basic human needs. So safety, security, belonging, these are biological and instinctual. And as children, when we express certain parts of ourselves, we might receive negative cues from our environment, meaning that we suppress those. So maybe a teacher shamed you for being disruptive in class, or, you know, you act boldly, playfully, spontaneously, or silly, and someone says, you know, shh, be quiet, or they ridicule you for that. They ridicule you for your self-expression, or you're told to be quiet and sit down. So it is in that that we then learn to adjust our behavior to gratify our needs, and we learn to adapt to the external world. Jung says, again, this is his theory, so I'll just say another quote from him. How can I be substantial if I do not cast a shadow? I must have a dark side also if I am to be whole. A lot of what we do when we are little involves unbridled joy. It involves exploring and discovering and learning the world through your lens and your perception with a lot of innocence and joy. And often we are told by the world that what we're doing isn't right, or the way that we're acting isn't correct and doesn't live up to societal norms. And for people who are not just neurodivergent, but people who just feel things a little bit more or express things differently, it can be very, very difficult to feel that you belong. It can be very difficult to feel that you're enough. And this is often suppressed, and then we suppress ourselves and we feel like we're putting ourselves into a little box, and we see that part of ourselves as a shadow, when actually it's not. And that's another thing. Confusing what is bad with what you've been told is bad is two separate things entirely. I think that's quite common in people, is, you know, when I look at my friends or family, what I love the most about them are the parts of them that make them a bit kooky and a bit weird and very expressive and, you know, things that they love with their whole heart. Those are the things that make us whole as human beings without the disapproval of society. And it can be very hard to kind of separate the two. Because your shadow is, if we're giving an example of myself, like a recent shadow that I've been working on, would be something to do with ego or the need for admiration in my work. This is a big thing I've been working through recently, is trying to release control of my working life and not put so much pressure on myself and not feel the need to be so productive all the time. This is a big coping mechanism, and that is rooted in my shadow self that needs approval, because when I was younger at school, I was bullied quite badly and I felt like I didn't have the approval of anyone. And now there is a part of myself that is clawing for that approval. And when I feel a slight rejection from my peers, whether that's my friend group or, you know, work colleagues or people online, it brings me right back to my child self, to my teenage self, and I start to panic and I start to feel that way again. And I know that that is my shadow needing approval. It's my ego needing fulfillment, and I am able to then, because I know that that's a part of myself, calmly understand that that's where that is coming from. And it's in knowing those behaviors that you unlock the power to move through the uncomfortable and anxious moments. So how can I start to do this? You know, how can I begin shadow work? Before you get to know your shadow, it's so important and it's so helpful to cultivate a sense of unconditional friendliness with yourself. In Buddhism, it is called Maitri, and I'm probably going to say that wrong. I should have looked up how to pronounce it. But cultivating self-compassion when you are looking at the darker stuff is so important, because we all have a dark side and there's no shame in it. But it is difficult to look at that part of ourselves. And if you're hard on yourself when you make mistakes, it can be difficult to confront your shadow. If you're accustomed to feeling shame or guilt, you need to transmute these emotions with friendliness, self-acceptance, and self-compassion. Start by accepting your humanness. Remember that we all have a shadow. Everyone is in the soup together, as Jung used to say. In us all, there are parts that we would like to change and parts that we're not proud of. But everybody has those parts. And before you begin to work on your flaws or accept that there are things that you do that don't align with your conscious self, it's really important that you approach yourself with friendliness. I think as humans and as people, we are so quick to be critical of ourselves and so quick to be cruel to ourselves as well when we make a mistake or we perceive a part of ourselves as imperfect. And the beauty and the key is that knowing that we are all imperfect and always will be. We will fall down. We will make mistakes. We will get angry and say things that we don't mean. We will fall short of our goals. We will struggle. And yet, with compassion and self-acceptance and knowing of oneself and integrating the shadow, you are able to get towards your goals in a way that feels a lot calmer. And it's so uncomfortable doing this work. Even talking about this is a little bit uncomfortable for me now. And I'm saying this in a podcast, not in a therapy session, but these topics are not easy. And this is not, you know, and first of all, I want to congratulate you for coming here and listening to this podcast and wanting to do this work, because in the act of even just listening to these topics, you are saying, you know, I want to change for the better and I want to understand myself more. There are so many people who move through the world with their unconscious mind leading everything that they do. Or there are people who are cruel to themselves and others and don't realize why they are and don't look internal. So, you know, I'm really, really proud of you for showing up and listening to this and trying to make change for the better. An exercise you can do if you're finding it hard to have self-compassion and connect to yourself, because we live in such a fast world, it can feel so hard to take a minute for yourself. You can do something physical. A really easy mantra is paying attention to your heart, breathing in, breathing out, and just simply saying thank you. And this is something that I do a lot when I'm trying to move through parts of myself that feel very uncomfortable, or I've acted in a way I don't like, or I did something at work and it didn't work. Okay, like I'd worked all week on a project and I post it or I share it and it flops. I'm so quick to be cruel to myself, but instead I put my hand on my heart and I breathe and I say thank you, and it really helps to center me. Of course, sometimes if you're dealing with anxiety, it can be a little bit harder, but that is a really lovely practice. Developing self-awareness is a huge part of this process too. Seeing the shadow requires a self-reflective mindset, the ability to observe and reflect our behaviors, thoughts, feelings, and attitudes. Meditation and journaling can help foster a non-judgmental awareness. I know I talk about journaling a lot, but I think it's so integral and so important in any kind of journey. Because you're able to be present without the critic or judgment of other people in that moment. You know, that's so private for yourself, that moment where you do journal, you sit down in the morning and you take 5 or 10 minutes just to get your thoughts down. No one's going to read it. No, you're not going to show anyone. It's just for you. It's non-judgmental. So you could, you know, for instance, try journaling about your shadow and parts of yourself that you find uncomfortable and things you've done you're not proud of. A good journaling prompt, and my favorite one, and one that really changed a lot for me, and it's a hard one, but it's, why are you so reluctant to be kind to yourself? You know, that's a hard one, and that took me quite a long time to figure out and come to a conclusion, but it's a really good prompt. So if you wanted to try that one, you could. Self-honesty and integrity are also prerequisites for shadow work. So you have to be honest with yourself, which is, again, difficult, right? Because it's hard to admit when there are parts of you you would like to change. And it's hard to admit when there are parts of yourself you don't like and things that you would like to improve upon. That's the hardest part of the journey, I think. You know, I look back at the beginning of my weight loss journey, for example, and the hardest part of it all was admitting I wanted to do it and was admitting that my behaviors were sabotaging my happiness and keeping me living in obesity and keeping me from being fit and knowing and admitting that I wanted to change. And that honesty with myself, I hadn't been honest with myself in 3 years. I had always avoided the truth because I would just drink it away or party it away, dance it away, smoke it away. I would never live, you know, I would never go up to it and be honest and confront it and go through it. I would never do that. I'd always avoid it. And a part of shadow work, or just the concept of your shadow, is honesty and, you know, having a good hard look at yourself and saying, what are some things that I don't like about myself and how can I change them, or do I want to change them? Bringing those into your reality and realizing that, you know, some of the habits that I have aren't great and are not serving me. You can watch your emotional reactions, you know, that will tell you about your shadow. So if you feel shame or jealousy towards someone else, that's a really good tell. So, you know, I was really rude about fit people before I started this whole thing. I was very hateful and quite spiteful towards people, and I would make comments and I would say things about the Gymshark girls, and you know, I was not very nice, and I'm not ashamed to admit that, because that's part of my shadow. And really what that was telling me was, you know, there's a little bit of jealousy there, there's something that you're suppressing, is watching them, you know, move their bodies and look very free and strong, something that perhaps you would like to emulate, but you're finding it too hard to get to that place. So instead you're throwing jabs to make yourself feel better. Is that part of your shadow? You know, the more you pay attention to your behavior and your emotions, the better chances you have of catching your shadow in the act. We tend to project our disowned parts of ourselves onto other people. And if you're paying close attention, you can train yourself to notice your shadow and witness strong negative emotional responses to others. So your shadow is an excellent tool at showing you what you may desire. This goes for a lot of different things in life, you know. Just recently, I've had to really work on how I speak to myself and the immediate thoughts I have when I see someone running really fast or having, you know, really super productive days. Because I'm in a space at the moment where my mental health is not great. I'm definitely, obviously, I'm coping, I'm doing the things I need to do, but anything extra at the moment is just out of the question. And I find it very difficult when I see entrepreneurs or fitness influencers going about their days being very productive, because I am envious. And that is nothing to do with them. They are doing amazing things with their life. And because I'm struggling, my immediate thought is to be cruel to myself or about them. And that is my shadow. And that is hard to admit. And that doesn't feel very nice. But I am owning my shadow. I know that's a part of me. And I know that that's showing me something that I want. And it's also about, okay, coming up and meeting that and being like, well, that's not something you can have right now, because everybody's different and everybody struggles in different ways. And comparison, I say it 100 million trillion times, but comparison really is the thief of joy. And it's just about finding that space where, with self-compassion, you're able to know yourself a little bit better. There's another brilliant method, which is the 3-2-1 shadow process, which is a proper tool that you can use. So step one is choose what you want to work with. So it's easier to begin with a person with whom you have a difficulty, e.g. partner, relative, boss. This person may irritate, disturb, annoy, or upset you. Maybe you feel attracted to, obsessed with, infatuated, possessive about this person. Choose someone with whom you have a strong emotional charge, whether positive or negative. So that's step one. Step two is face it. Now, imagine this person. Describe those qualities that most upset you or the characteristics that you're most attracted to using third person language, i.e. he, she, it. Talk about them out loud or write it down in a journal. Express your feelings. Don't calculate or try to say the right thing. There is no need to be nice. The person you are describing will never see this. Step three, talk to it. Dialogue with this person is in your imagination. Speak in the second person to this person using you language. Talk directly to this person as if he or she was there. Tell them what bothers you most about them. Ask them questions such as, why are you doing this to me? What do you want from me? What are you trying to show me? What do you have to teach me? Imagine their response to these questions. Speak that imaginary response out loud. Record the conversation in your journal if you like. So talking to your shadow is a big, big part. And talking to yourself is a big part of this. And I know that people are like, talking to yourself is the first sign of losing your mind or whatever. But I do speak to myself a lot, because that brings the subconscious to the conscious. It's like an immediate thing that you can do to help yourself with that. So, for example, I'm making a coffee in the morning and I get a sudden jab of like, my unconscious mind is like, today, you know, you're a failure, or you've done this, that's embarrassing, you should probably delete all of your social media accounts, or whatever it's telling me. In order to bring that subconscious thought to the forefront and to the consciousness of my world, I have to say out loud, hey Cassia, that wasn't very nice. Why are you saying those things to yourself? What's actually going on here? Is there something you want to talk about? Is there something you're feeling, or are you feeling shameful? Are you feeling jealous? Are you feeling scared? What is it that I can give you? What is it that you need? And then that way, the next time the thought comes up, you can process it into your conscious world instead of it being unconscious and having it direct your reality without you even knowing. That's how you turn positive days into negatives, when your subconscious mind is steering the ship without you even realizing. So just pay attention. You know, I think people don't do that enough. Pay attention to what your thoughts are telling you. Pay attention to the way you speak to yourself, the way that you interact with yourself. You know, we really, really are so cruel to ourselves, and it's just so important that we allow ourselves grace, especially in our mind, because it's constantly going. You are always in conversation with yourself. I mean, I say that I'm a chronic overthinker, so I think perhaps my brain might be a little bit louder, but I know that a lot of my lovely, lovely listeners will probably relate to this as well, because if you're here, you're trying to find a way out of the entangled web of your brain. So we're doing it together, guys, I promise. So those are the basic concepts of the shadow and shadow work. I didn't want to bombard you with too much information on this concept, as I'm aware it's very deep and it's a little bit uncomfortable for some, but this has helped me work through so much shame. Addressing and talking to the darker parts of yourself could be the next key to unlocking whatever it is that you're looking to do, you know, and that saboteur inside yourself, or that nasty part of yourself that has anger or jealousy or rage or whatever it is, you know, these emotions are, I also want to let you know, they're not bad emotions. Everyone needs to feel anger and everyone needs to feel sadness, and we can't be happy all the time. That's not the human experience, you know. And I'm like saying things, but I'm just trying to remind myself of this just in a little bit of a tough patch at the moment. So, you know, I think what I love the most about shadow work and the darkness that I have in my life is that I know that because I cast a shadow, and because there is darkness in me, that there is also so much light. And I'm grateful to be able to feel the depths of what I do and to have access to my shadow and know that there are ripples that happen throughout our lives, from childhood to, you know, incidents at school, through to our adolescence and rejection from lovers, from friends, you know, trying things and failing, people saying awful things to you, trauma, whatever it is, those ripples inform our relationship with ourselves now. And so when you give someone a task, or when you give yourself a task, or you ask yourself to do something, whatever it is you're embarking on, you know, when you give that to yourself, please remember that behind you, there are all the versions of yourself that you used to be, and they're trying to help you, but sometimes they aren't that kind. And it's in realizing that all the past versions of yourself play a part in how you speak with yourself and the way that you move through the world and the way that you are able to make change, whether that's in fitness or running or anything, you know, they stand behind you. And if you can start to make peace with those shadow versions of yourself, you'll have a fucking army. I have had to look back through years and years of my life, through things that have happened and ways that I think about myself, and I've had to try to heal them. And I don't know if I ever really will. I'm not sure. But I know that I can call upon them when I'm doing things like I'm racing, or, you know, I'm doing something difficult at work, or I have a difficult conversation to have, or, you know, I feel like I just can't do it anymore. I'm able to call upon the past versions of myself. And you know, I look at them and I think, you were just doing the best with what you could at the time. And your shadow is huge. You know, I look even just at photos and see the darkness in me and the shadows that I'm casting, and realizing that, you know, if only I had known how to access that part of myself. But again, I was numbing, you know, I was numbing everything. I was never confronting anything. I was just going around it instead of through it, you know. But you have to go through it. You have to try to do the work to go through it, because when we feel, we heal. And that's why I'm such an advocate for expressing yourself and expressing your emotions and trying to feel your way through things, because suppressing, you know, although it may get us through an immediate experience, a meeting, you know, whatever it is that needs to happen on the day, being able to feel means that we are able to heal. And that's really important. That's my little spiel on shadow work. You know, I hope that it can help you work through some limiting beliefs as well. And you can apply this to conquering some goals, whether that be in fitness, in wellness, whatever. You know, it helped me a lot with my own running journey, conquering physical distances, you know, overcoming that shadow telling me that I would never be able to do it. Like, I remember once, especially going from 0 to 5, that was the hardest part of my running journey. And it was through working through those limiting beliefs and working with my shadow, the one telling me that I couldn't, and meeting it with the light, that I was able to move through it and go on and do my 10Ks and half marathons. This morning I ran 12 miles, which is just, I still get, you know, and I had a really lovely run. The first run in about a month I've enjoyed. And I was reminded this morning of why I love this sport so much, because it is freedom. You know, it is turning a bad day good. It is taking your shadow and looking at it and saying, like, nah, not today. Sorry. But look at all the light I can create. Look at the movement I can make. Like, it's beautiful. And if you're listening, you know, I just want you to know that you can confront the parts of yourself that feel scary and you can move through them. And if you're feeling shame or if you're feeling guilt or embarrassment, just know that, you know, you don't have to feel that way about yourself. You're not broken. You're not gross. You're not anything. You're just a human, man. And you're just trying. So just give yourself some grace, because you deserve to be here. You deserve to experience all the things that life has to offer, and you deserve to go after your dreams. So yeah, I hope this episode has helped. I apologize for being emotional. It's just one of those weeks. So I'll leave you with a poem. As always, this actually isn't a poem. This is just a little excerpt from a book called Miracles by Sam Sachs. And it goes, "We are only here today not because what does not kill us makes us stronger, but because what does not kill us does not kill us. Because what takes our breath away leaves us breathing. Because we're breathing. Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that miracle enough?" So there you go. I really, really love you guys. I hope you know that. Like, genuinely, I just want to say thanks for listening and being here and making me feel heard. And with every episode and with all the feedback that you give me, my shadow gets smaller and smaller, and I'm able to make peace with parts of myself. So from me to you, like, thank you for listening. You've changed my life. You've changed how I perceive myself. And I can't thank you enough for that. I apologize that I am very tearful today, but this has become my safe space, so I think it's all right. Okay. Sorry, everyone. As always, let me know your feedback on this episode. I'd love to hear if you try any shadow work. You know, let me know what you think. Let me know any ideas for future episodes, anything at all. Let's keep the conversation going. It makes me feel like I'm not just shouting into a void. And if you're a silent follower or someone who listens and has never messaged, I'd love to hear from you. You know, it's nice for this to be a little bit more of a two-way for me. DM me your name, where you're from, and why you listen. I really would love to hear from you. All right, guys, I'll leave it there. I'm gonna go pick up Joe at the zoo, my fiance who works at the zoo, maybe look at some animals and go to the gym and have a chilled night. And I hope you all have a happy week. Release some energy, hand on our hearts, feeling grateful to be here. Yeah, okay, love you loads. Until next week, bye bye.